Good afternoon, Eastern Washington and fellow Patriots. This is Matt Shea, and welcome to Patriot Radio, broadcasting live from deep inside the heart of the future Liberty State, brought to you once again by On Fire Ministries, in the legacy of Dr. Stan Monteith, bringing you the story behind the story and the news behind the news. It's not about right or left. It's about right and wrong, about our hope not being in man, but in Jesus Christ, about not ending in prayer, but also moving to action. It's also about the gospel of the kingdom, Ephesians 2:19-22. So then, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household. That means we are actually of his household. That's what it says. Having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together is growing into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together into a dwelling or habitation of God in the Spirit. What does it mean to be a member of God's household? It means we're heirs. It means we are co-laborers. It means that we enjoy the protection of the Father. Do we actually act like that when we walk out our Christianity on a daily basis? Do we say one thing on Sunday, sing another thing on Sunday, and then yet live another thing during the week? I'm going to be very blunt today, and you're like, you're always blunt. Well, I am going to be extremely blunt today about the situation that we're facing here in the next year to 2 years specifically. I think the supply chain issues are far more significant than many people understand. Some of you listening to this show have listened for years, and yet not done very much in the way of preparedness, despite all of the guests and all of the things that have been said. And so I would encourage you today to rethink that position of normalcy bias. Normalcy bias is the idea that we can, you know, things are going to continue the way that they always have, and we can just skate, because how could it possibly ever happen here? I want to share very quickly a story from family over in Ukraine who we called a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks ahead of the invasion and said, hey, look, you need to get out of there, go take a vacation for a little while. If we're wrong, you went on a nice vacation. The problem is they're stuck now because he didn't listen to that because of normalcy bias. It won't happen. This is just propaganda. They've always talked about it. They didn't listen, and they didn't see the warning signs. They're key indicators that can tell you what's about to happen, especially militarily. I've talked about this stuff on the show for years. And so when these key indicators came up, very easy analysis, it looks very highly probable they're going to invade. And oh, by the way, right around this time, which is exactly what happened. So we want to break off normalcy bias. If you have not been preparing and you do not have 1 year's supply of food stored up, you are setting your family up, your friends, your neighbors, you might be good friends with too, setting them up for failure right now. Because we have a situation brewing that there are no easy answers to. And you're either going to be prepared for it or not. You're either going to be ready or not. And this last weekend was Resurrection Sunday. Jesus Christ, the first fruits. First fruits of what? The harvest. And actually, the whole harvest picture is really kind of fantastic. They would actually present the first fruits to the people in the city, and the people in the city had to acknowledge the contributions of those in the rural areas and actually say, are you doing well? Can you imagine that happening today? And if you need more on that, you can watch the last time study where I detail that feast. But we have a harvest of souls coming, and we're going to need to be prepared with food and maybe even shelter and a bunch of other things. Are we actually ready to do this right now? So I'm going to talk about a couple things that are coming and kind of give you a blow by blow. But the bottom line is the cancellation of grain shipments, which I'm going to get to here in a second, far more significant than the mainstream media is making out. So, tonight, with your family, pray. Ask the Lord. Really press into this. Ask the Lord. And go out and actually be ready, whether this is going to be continued inflation. Okay, fantastic. You bought it this year and it was way cheaper. Your dollar went farther. Or it's war causing supply chain constrictions. Or it's both together. You're ready for it. You're ready for it. We all need to be ready. That brings us to your daily intelligence briefing on the international front. Coming to us from Open Source Intelligence. Mariupol, Ukraine, struck by explosions today around the Azovstal steel plant, which apparently contains the last Ukrainian soldiers in the city, still holding out after all these days. Is actually quite a testament. I mean, this is kind of becoming the Alamo as far as the Ukraine is concerned. Russian long-range bombers now in the fight, striking targets there. The Netherlands will send heavy weaponry and armored vehicles to Ukraine. This, again, there's a couple parts of this that are interesting. This is making it so NATO is more exposed, which increases the very likelihood of a broader war exponentially. Also, Ukrainian troops that were near Kiev claim that the British SAS troops were on the ground in Ukraine providing training. UK has not commented on these claims. Of course they're on the ground. So now it's confirmed, though, that we have NATO troops on the ground in Ukraine. I mean, it shouldn't come as a surprise. I mean, special forces are going to be out there, multiple countries, seeing what's going on. But here's a couple points that I want to highlight here. The first is that the U.S. is now exporting 17% of its liquid natural gas, most of it going to Europe, trying to offset what's going on with the Russian oil companies shutting down gas to Europe. The IMF chief economist warned that Russian gas being banned to Europe would have a serious effect on Europe. I want to highlight a couple other things. Major cryptocurrency platform Currency.com says it was hit by a DDoS attack last week, shortly after ceasing its operations in Russia. And very likely, North Korea has mapped out most of the cryptocurrency space. And this is according to the Fiance Capital founder, Chiang. Now, you can go read this there on Open Source Intelligence if you want to take a look at those names and who those people are. But here's the picture that this is painting before I get to what happened and started today. The picture this is painting is increased cyber attacks on critical U.S. infrastructure and the infrastructure of our allies, coming not just from China and Russia, but also clearly from North Korea. The second big picture here is that the supply chains are getting extended, and the fact that 17% of our liquid natural gas exports are going to Europe means that the prices are going to increase just by virtue of the fact it has to be transported over the ocean. That is going to increase the price of almost everything for a whole bunch of different reasons I'm not going to get into right now. But in addition to that, NATO is now exposing itself even further. That what if a Russian long-range bomber struck the convoy? Well, Russian long-range bombers are now going and striking Western Ukraine. So this is a very high likelihood of something happening like that very soon. And today, finally, after the Russians regrouped In eastern Ukraine, they did finally start the attack across the line of control in the Donbas region. So this is the long-awaited offensive. This is World War II size battle that is begun now in Ukraine. And based on the battle damage assessments that I'm seeing already coming out of it, the Ukrainians are holding their own with a defense in depth against the Russians. Something else came out of this. I saw a report that there were now 76 battalion tactical groups that had regrouped to do this attack in eastern Ukraine. They had been plussed up by 11 battalion tactical groups from Russia. Now, they had started with 110. So, Travis, I'm not a math major, but that looks like what we've been reporting for a long time. Over 40 battalion tactical groups have been completely destroyed or rendered combat ineffective. I think it's closer to 50, and if you add in maintenance on top of that, you're closer to 60 to 70 battalion tactical groups, either combat ineffective or completely destroyed. That is absolutely stunning. And I saw somebody today put out, somebody I actually normally trust, put out, oh, this is just a fraction of the Russian military. Well, the fact is, it's really not. And Travis, thank you for bringing that up from Euromaidan Press. This graphic called Russian Combat Losses in Ukraine gives you an idea of how much the Ukrainians are tracking has been lost relative to the forces that had already been committed to the invasion to start. Those are stunning numbers. Even if those are half of what they are, they're stunning numbers. But it's easy to keep battle damage numbers pretty clear on vehicles like tanks and armored personnel carriers. Very easy to keep tabs on that. Also on aircraft and helicopters. So these may not be 100% accurate, but I would venture to guess, based on just the accuracy, the videos previously to have come out, that these are fairly, you know, within 75%. So again, look at those numbers. That's an incredible amount of losses. And then you look at what's been happening over the last 2 days with Russian tank losses, and you're now in the dozens. Potentially here in just a week's time, just 12 in the last 24 hours. And then before that, almost double that. So what we're seeing right now with this huge tank battle that is rivaling the World War II Battle of Kursk in eastern Ukraine very well could decide dependency of this war. Now, I want to give some timelines right now, why timing is important as well, because the KGB and KGB-trained officers love dates. And so May 9th looks like the date they're shooting for to declare victory in Ukraine, whatever that even looks like. They'll claim victory. They have to. It's part of the narrative battle. And so you'll see, it could be May 1st. They could pull something and do it on the communist holiday, but it's going to be right in this time frame. It looks like they may try to declare victory. So Putin understands that he doesn't have very long to try to continue this taking of ground in eastern Ukraine and solidifying the gains he has. And obviously Mariupol is one of their key targets because of the port there. So we're going to see a culmination of this, but do not think this is the end. Again, Soviets like to take a step backward. And yes, okay, I'm really kind of tired of arguing with people about Putin being communist. Just go read his writings. Actually read, educate yourself. Okay, he is a communist. And yes, he's battling globalists, but he is still a communist, okay? And I think people are getting lost in that whole thing, and that they shouldn't be. It should be a very, very easy analysis. You've got globalists versus communists. Fantastic. Ukrainian people have the right to defend themselves. Very simple. And other people are saying, well, he's a defender of Christianity. Well, look, at the KGB infiltrated the Orthodox Church years and years ago. In fact, it culminated in 1963. The split of the state church was infiltrated by the KGB and the confessing church. In fact, I still have a picture of them. I'm going to have to get the picture for one of the shows of them in the woods where they had to do worship services because they couldn't hold public worship services in 1963. Why is this important right now? Because the supply chains, because of the battle that's continuing, and the fact that the Soviets always take a step backward once they meet a ton of resistance, this is the dialectical step backward, means it could look for a little while like everything is totally fine and nothing's going to happen. And people go back to sleep. Don't go back to sleep. They're doing this intentionally. Which shifts us now to China, because China could then take that lull as the opportunity to finish preparation for an invasion of Taiwan, or they could wait. But how can China strangle the world? This is coming to us from Ann Magazine. Over the weekend, an editorial in an Iranian newspaper funded by the Iranian Supreme Leader Ayatollah Khomeini suggested that Iran close the Strait of Hormuz to South Korean vessels until Seoul releases $7 billion in frozen assets. Well, now we're talking about economic warfare that could end up in shooting warfare. To the casual observer, the statement may simply seem like another an endless stream of Iranian pronouncements. But it has a lot more to do with Beijing than it does with Iran. There is a militarization happening in the South China Sea, and I want to talk about this geographically. There's a book written by Tim Marshall called Prisoners of Geography. The Straits of Malacca, where most of the Chinese oil goes through, can easily be blocked. And there have been recent military exercises, the U.S. military with the Malaysian military and the Philippine military. Well, how do the Chinese get around that? Well, they first have to establish dominance off of their own coast, which has Taiwan, South Korea, and Japan. That's why Taiwan is so important. Or they have to go over the Himalayan mountains and down through Pakistan to Lahore, Pakistan. Well, oh, wait a minute. Wasn't there a change of government here recently that was kind of unexpected with Imran Khan being ousted? Yes, now you understand why. Very likely a Western intelligence move to stabilize Pakistan and prevent the Chinese from coming over the Himalayan mountains to those ports in Pakistan, bypassing the Straits of Malacca. Okay, well, then that leaves one last option. That's the Silk Road, all the way down through Turkey. So don't be surprised if we don't start seeing some Chinese moves in that area of the world, including in Afghanistan. But also, talking about Taiwan, and maybe even South Korea. So as soon as you see something involving South Korea like this, hey, you need to unfreeze these funds, $7 billion. We're going to close off oil to you. Here's the point. The Strait of Hormuz is the world's most important oil choke point because of the large volumes of oil that flow through that strait. Roughly one-third of the world's oil transit this narrow body of water. And there are very few options for moving oil out of the Middle East if that strait is closed. So now we have some geostrategic moves by the Chinese happening because Beijing signed a 25-year strategic partnership with Tehran in March 2021 that didn't get any real analysis in the mainstream media. And they are choking the South China Sea with their island-building campaign. So now you understand why China is acting the way it's acting, but things like this, they aren't just some bluff by the Iranians, they're now talking about economic warfare. And likely this had been talked about months in advance when the Russians said, hey, this is what we're going to do. All right. I want to talk about something that came up in regards to Department of Homeland Security. This coming to us from the Republic Brief. Secretary of State for Georgia, Brad Raffensperger, conducted the first audit of Georgia's voter rolls for citizenship status in the state's history. The audit proved that Georgia's citizenship check procedures are working and are vital to ensuring secure elections. The review and the search found 1,634 individuals who had attempted to register to vote in Georgia despite not being citizens. Okay. Customs and Border Patrol agents intercepted 23 people from Saudi Arabia and Yemen crossing the southern border in 2021. Okay, that's interesting. And some people were apprehended. That's how we know how many people got through. We don't know that. Right now, they're trying to claim, oh, everything's good with the citizenship stuff. We should downplay the threat at the border. And yet, terrorists crossing the southern border is an actual problem. So now you have Middle Eastern countries making a point of using the border crisis right now in the South to infiltrate terrorists again into the United States of America. And the administration and the pretender are saying, no, 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 it's not that big a deal. Citing Georgia as one reason. Here's why this is important. Our enemies are taking advantage of the fact that America is weak right now. And there are certain elements inside the United States government that are intentionally weakening America prior to World War III. So this isn't just going to be an outside threat. They're trying to infiltrate into the United States of America with terrorist elements to make them active prior to this. Understand that. Also, they're trying to weaken the Christian church around the world. And so they do that through persecution. And so we're seeing an uptick in persecution, which is why our guest today is going to be from Voice of the Martyrs. So again, let's take a look at this from an objective standpoint. A weak U.S., they're continuing to weaken the United States. What can we do? We can strengthen ourselves here at the local level. Coming to us from InfoWars. Emergency alert. After rail carriers cancel grain shipments, CF Industries warns fertilizer rail shipments now being halted during spring planting. In other words, they're halting the fertilizer shipments at the exact moment that they're needed. America's food infrastructure is being deliberately shut down as part of the Biden administration's plan to implement the Great Reset. That's the subtitle there. So 10 days ago, rail carriers were declaring force majeure and halting shipments of grain to dairy herds and other cow herds across America. So this is not just going to implement grain and bread. It's also implementing meat now. CF Industries confirms that engineered food... here's the bottom line. These fertilizers are needed regardless of whether we have even engineered food, which has higher yields. They're still needed. And on April 14th, CF Industries said Union Pacific is halting the delivery of fertilizer shipments right in the middle of peak planting season for farmers. Railroad mandated shipping reductions will result in nitrogen fertilizer shipment delays during the spring application season, and it will be unable to accept new rail sales involving Union Pacific for the foreseeable future. Whew. This means that the supply chain issues regarding food are far more significant than is being reported. Be prepared. Go stock up on food. Go do it. Doesn't mean you need to panic. It's not out of fear, but be ready. Understand the signs of the times and what to do about it. All right. Also on the national front, coming to us from the New American, homeschooling surge from COVID is permanent. The rapid rise in homeschooling in the United States is what we've ever seen is going to continue. And prior to COVID, about 3% or 2 million young people were being homeschooled, according to the Census Bureau. That number has tripled during the 2020-2021 school year and only slightly fell off the next year. So in other words, this is going to continue into the future as a permanent thing. And Christian churches need to be ready to receive people that are coming out of the government school system. And if you have a church, you can turn it into a school. All right. Also coming to us on the national front from WorldNet Daily, Thomas Massey wrote on Twitter, the fact that 95% of the travelers took off their masks as soon as the mandate was invalidated should be a wake-up call to Democrats and Republicans who played along with them for the past 2 years. Amen. So this court ruling, essentially the major airlines have said, we're getting rid of the mask mandates. Even Uber has said, we're getting rid of the mask mandates. You don't have to do it. I'm just going to say this. We should never, ever, ever go back. It's a symbol of muzzling, and we should never go back. Lastly, on the national front, I want to address something that's been coming up quite a bit. Okay, Elon Musk. Technocracy News has this article, will the real Elon Musk please stand up? Identity One, 2017, Elon Musk as a transhumanist. And he talks about at the World Government Summit in Dubai about the animal brain and the cortex and all of these things that basically inserting a chip into your brain to interface to the digital world, putting all knowledge at your instant disposal. Again, transhumanism. Identity number two, technocrat. This is very interesting. Supporting or saying this, the elimination of the American worker by going to robots, which would necessitate the universal basic income. Identity three, space pioneer. He doesn't believe in man-made global warming. Okay, well, we agree on that one. Eccentric fatherhood. Currently at age 50, Musk has fathered 8 children. And it goes through that, basically asking the question about his morality. And then there's this picture with a satanic occult sign as well. And then identity number five, champion of free speech. I want to be really clear here. I'm not averse to Twitter being transformed into a free speech platform. But we have to look at how people were in the past as well regarding core issues of the day. And transhumanism is one of those core issues. Is this going to be used actually to further some of those agendas as well? Is there something else behind the scenes that we don't know? And almost invariably, the answer is yes. And part of this, too, that I find interesting is a lot of people that have said, oh, we believe in free speech. It's always free speech except for Christians, particularly overseas in foreign countries. So are we ready to accept the fact that Christians might be banned from certain free speech platforms because, well, we've already decided that isn't free speech and that shouldn't be part of free speech? We need to be careful with this stuff and instead take the point of view of Jesus Christ. We continue to preach the gospel of the kingdom. We go into every single nation in the world, make disciples. We preach the gospel of the kingdom everywhere we go, heal the sick, cast out demons, and we care for the widows and orphans and love our neighbors as ourselves. If we're doing that in every country of the world, then it doesn't matter what Twitter is doing. We're not dependent on one platform that can still be controlled or taken offline. We use God's plan, and that is the decentralization of information sharing through the spreading of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that is the briefing. Remember, the antidote to dependency and socialism is to be a God-fearing, self-reliant, freedom-loving American. Thank you to everybody again praying for us, especially when we were over there in Ukraine and Poland. Thank you to everybody that was supporting us there and supporting the orphans that were rescued and brought to safety. Really want to just highlight a couple of things that came out of that you know, now they're safe, and we're really living out the Father's heart, taking care of the widows and the orphans, and that serves as an example to many other people and emboldens them as well. So thank you, everyone, who was a part of that. Blessings to you and your family. If you get a chance, you can go to Gab, MeWe, Getter, at Matt Shea. Also, you can share this if you absolutely have to on Facebook at Patriot Radio US. We're also on iTunes, Podbean, Spotify, and Amazon. All right. It's my great pleasure today to bring on the spokesperson for Voice of the Martyrs, Todd Nettleton. I really love Voice of the Martyrs ministry and what they've been doing over the years to highlight the fact that Christians generally actually don't live in peace and safety in many areas of the world, and we need to be praying for them and supporting them and making sure they are never forgotten. Todd, thanks so much for joining me on Patriot Radio today. Did we lose you? Okay. There
Matt,
you,
Matt.
Yeah, you I can hear you now. Perfect.
I'm afraid there might be some mistake because this isn't Todd. This is Michael Perugia.
Oh, well, Michael.
Hello. I think I shocked you there.
You did. Yeah, that's fine. Hey, Michael. We're going to go with this. If the Lord wants you on the show today, you're on the show today. This is going to be fantastic. Michael Perutka and Institute on the Constitution, and you've been doing so much, too, in addition to that. How are you doing today?
Well, I'm doing great. Thank you. I apologize for the miscommunication, but I've never been introduced to Todd before, so I'm new at this as well as you. So I don't know how the influence came together, but here I am, and I'm grateful for your hospitality.
Well, awesome. So let's talk a little bit. I'm just going to totally shift gears. We're going to dive straight into some of this stuff. So 95% of the people, you know, as soon as the mask mandate is lifted, they're taking their masks off. I mean, people intuitively know this is ridiculous. This thing is over. And you know, it had to be a court that said it. Well, really, it shouldn't have been that way. We should have been doing this at the local level all along. If you could comment on that.
Well, sure. And you're absolutely right. That's a very key issue because we have grown to accept this falsehood, Matt, that only the courts are the arbiter and can say what's constitutional or what's not constitutional, what's lawful, what's not lawful. Everybody, in fact, everybody who's taken an oath to the Constitution, especially those who were in any kind of law enforcement capacity, they have the obligation to know what the Constitution said. They need to know what the law is, and they need to make those decisions all the time, every day, as part of their normal work routine. And when they go ahead and listen to some unlawful order and enforce it and misuse the police powers of the state to enforce it, and then they're just kicking the can down the road for months or years or whatever until some court might decide something. But in the meantime, justice has been delayed or denied entirely. And again, I think it's this falsehood that we've accepted that courts are the only arbiter. Courts don't make law. They decide cases and controversies that come before them, and they make rulings that have to do with the parties before them. But we give courts too much status, if you will, in this. And again, we need people at all levels of government to know what the rules are, to know what the law is, and know what the constitutional protections are, and to live by them and enforce them. That's the way a self-governed people operate.
It is a way a self-governed people operate, and it would prevent a lot of the rise of this tyranny in the future. But how many local government officials, Republican and Democrat, just went along with this stuff? And how many private companies went along with this stuff? Where you had county commissioners thinking that they were some sort of an enforcement arm.
It kind of shows, you know, in Hosea 4:6, I think it is, he says, "My people perish for lack of knowledge." And we don't know our own, constitutions. We don't know the rules, and we don't require those in office to know what the rules are, et cetera. So we perish. I mean, you know, you've heard the Jefferson quote many times: "If a nation desires to be ignorant and free, it desires what never was and never will be." And that's a pretty little piece of poetry, but it's really a profound truth that we are, we are just giving up. You know, Matt, let me just use this example. In my state of Maryland, there are two law schools in my state of Maryland, two quote-unquote accredited law schools. Well, everybody that graduates from those law schools, presuming that they pass the bar and they enter into the practice of law, all of those people take an oath to protect and defend the Constitution of my state of Maryland, right? But neither of those law schools has a course of study in the Constitution of Maryland. I mean, everybody takes an oath to it but nobody's ever in any systematic way looked at or even read it. It's this astounding lack of knowledge of the rules of the game. And how do you expect to win the game, if we want to call it a game, how do you expect to win the game when you don't even know the rules? You don't even know how to dress for the game. You don't even know what equipment to bring. You don't even know how to keep score. You don't know if the other team's cheating because you don't know any of the rules. And that's the situation. I mean, for the law schools not to have a course of study on the Constitution that everybody swears an oath to, I just ask your listeners, do you think that's an oversight? I mean, that's part of the plan to enslave us. And that's just part of the plan, but to keep us ignorant and to make us ignorant. And we've allowed that to occur.
Well, we're experts in 2000 details, but we miss the entire forest. And I've done that many, many times where I'll say, hey, raise your hand right now. How many of you have read the U.S. Constitution? And thanks to your efforts, many people in the audience will say, I've read the U.S. Constitution. Okay, well, how many of you have read the state constitution? And almost all the hands go down. Maybe you'll have 10 to 25% in a really good area. If we don't even know what our own constitution says, how can we hold our officials or elected officials accountable?
There's no way. You don't have the tools. You're not actually qualified to be a citizen. They're not qualified to be an elected representative, but you're not qualified even to act as a citizen if you don't at least know what your job is. And as you've correctly explained, their job is to keep their oath. Our job is to make sure that they do it. It's horrible. I mean, it's just, and again, it's not. I don't believe that this has happened by accident. This has happened on purpose. A lot of times when I'll start a presentation by just asking people to either take out a piece of paper or just have a mental exercise, just make like you're taking out a piece of paper and a pencil, and write me down just a list of the five freedoms that are protected by the First Amendment to the Constitution of the United States. Just list the five freedoms for me, and then tell me what the Third Amendment is about. You don't have to quote it to me, but just tell me what it's about. And then tell me what the 17th Amendment is about. And then tell me what article and section of the Constitution gives the federal government the authority and the duty to protect the borders. Because that's an important point, right? So just tell me any of these. And then I'll just pause and look at them and say, how are you feeling about this quiz so far? Right? And nobody feels good about the quiz because nobody knows any of those answers. But those are all very easy questions. I mean, and they're questions you should ask anybody. You should be able to ask anybody who walks up your driveway or knocks on your door or calls you on the phone and asks for your money or your support or your vote. Because those are how are they going to protect your rights if they don't even know what they are or where to find them?
Exactly. There is no way. And, I brought up to people, hey, what have you read Article 26 of the Washington State Constitution in regards to mask mandates and vaccine mandates and all these things? And I'm like, no, we never read it. Well, it's the only irrevocable part of the Washington State Constitution. It says there should be perfect toleration of religious sentiment in all matters of religious sentiment. And then it goes further and says no person shall be molested in their person or property on account of their mode of worship. And one of the modes of worship we have is what we put in our body. Just it's crystal clear, right? But nobody even knows it exists.
Nobody even right. Again, how are you going to defend your? How is anybody going to defend your rights if how are you going to even say you have rights if you can't articulate them and you can't point to them and you don't know the process by which the source their origin, first of all, their divine origin. And then the ways in which the people have gathered together and made a deal with their government to make sure that their that they're not violated. It's the government's job to make sure they're not violated. So we have a situation where those who really are charged and entrusted with upholding the law, they really use the law to break the law. That's the situation that we have all over. And I would hope that during this big pandemic, and by the way, during this pandemic, it doesn't matter what you just described from your constitution there in Washington State. It doesn't matter what the science was, or the fake science was, or what. None of that matters. I mean, we could get all wrapped around the axle about whether, you know, this is effective or that scientific, or this is fake, or there's peer reviews of this or that. But it doesn't matter, because even if the science was perfect, you and I know it wasn't, but even if it was perfect, it's still not lawful. It's not lawful. It doesn't matter what the science, but they get us all distracted and wrapped around the axle about science. And of course, everything that, well, you know that none of that was very scientific.
No, none of it was very scientific. Joining me today on Patriot Radio, Michael Perutka. He's a Maryland lawyer, founder of the Institute on the Constitution, Constitution Party candidate for president in 2004, and also co-host of the American View radio program at theamericanview.com. I want to talk a little bit on the Institute on the Constitution, only place in the country that I know of that is pushing forward on a state constitution literacy program. Tell the listeners a little bit about that.
Well, thank you. Yeah. Well, I told you about the problems that occur in Maryland. The only place that I know of in the universe that you can study the Maryland Constitution is with the Institute on the Constitution. And we have been working with other states and people in other states to develop courses of study, just like we have in Maryland. We have a course of study in Maryland for the Maryland Constitution. And we want to try and develop across the country courses of study so this basic problem we've been discussing, Matt, can be solved, can be attacked, so that we can stop perishing because of our ignorance. You know, one thing that I apologize because you don't know this, but when you introduced me, I'm a candidate for the Attorney General of Maryland right now.
Oh, fantastic! Congratulations!
Hey, I just wanted to, you know, you weren't aware of it, and there's no reason why you would be from where you sit, because of these problems that you and I have been discussing. I've put my hat in the ring there to run as a Republican for the office of Attorney General, which is, I believe, is crucial because these wrongs, these misuses of power by our governors and our county executives and our county councils, et cetera, our local government and health departments, if they're not redressed, the violations of the people's rights all across America have been notorious and obnoxious and manifest and blatantly unconstitutional. And if we just let that go by and don't bring those people who have done that to justice, then we have no constitution. We have no way of even on paper or philosophically that we can put limits on this tyranny. I mean, the tyranny is already running amok. So anyway, I mean, that's why I thought it was just imperative to somebody who actually understands the Constitution, which I have some knowledge of it, that somebody like that has to be in office. And so it's causing quite a stir because, I'm declaring it, people are saying, well, are you actually going to bring these people to justice? Well, yeah.
Right.
I mean, I'm going to do everything that I can. But it's kind of an unthinkable thought for people right now because they think that they have to just roll over and play dead when the government does this, but they don't and they shouldn't. And if they do, I mean, that's not what our founders did. They were up against the biggest army and the biggest navy in the world at that time, and they relied on divine providence. They pledged their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor to do something about it. And that's what we need to do all across America, because in all of these states, I mean, I think the record is very, very similar, you know, that the power, the police powers of the state have been absolutely misused, and we, you know, our bodily autonomy has been attacked, and our children have been indoctrinated, and our businesses have been closed and declared non-essential, and all this stuff, and that's got to be redressed.
Yeah, it has to be redressed, and I think people are sick and tired of, you know, child rapists being let off leniently, Mexican cartels running roughshod, terrorist organizations infiltrating the United States, and virtually no true systematic investigations occurring at the state level in regards to those entities. And there's just so many things, and this is a position that is critical that can make those things happen.
Well, I certainly hope so. I mean, I've actually, you know, I've been asked questions about, well, what are you going to do as Attorney General? And I just point to the Constitution of Maryland. Maryland. Article 5 says what the Attorney General is supposed to do. He basically has four functions, and they're listed right there. But, you know, our Attorney General in Maryland, our current Attorney General, has spent a great deal of his time and effort suing Donald Trump. it's way out of control and way out. But I honestly think, Matt, that this is what World War III looks like. You know, if you think about it, if your country was involved in what you and I might call a regular war, a war like that we kind of look back at World War II or other conflicts that happened in the past, you would think there's some things that you might expect your enemy to try to do. For example, you would expect your enemy to try to destroy your cities, right? Making them unsafe places to work and to live. And you might expect your enemy to commandeer your public information system and censor ideas that oppose their agenda. You might think that they would try to commandeer your private communication system and censor your ideas and introduce their agenda. You would expect them to try to cripple your economy, maybe, right? Maybe infiltrate your government with traitors and saboteurs. You would maybe close your churches. Maybe you expect your enemy to do that, right? To make your borders porous, all these things. You see where I'm going with this. If these things are being done to you, then I think it's logical to assume that whoever's doing them is your enemy. And what I think most people don't expect, and haven't expected, is that the enemy would infiltrate the system so much that they get you to do it to yourself. Yeah. I mean, we are in America. We are doing this to ourselves because our culture is being fundamentally changed, but it's not the way that you think of a normal war. It's being done, and it's been going on for a couple of years now. Well, it's been going on for maybe more than that, but certainly these actions on the part of the Biden administration and many state governments, et cetera, these have been acts of war against the American people. But we're like a fog and don't kind of understand what's going on.
That's exactly right. And I want to shift just a hair here on this. You know, you mentioned World War III. I mean, you're absolutely right. I mean, this is fifth generation warfare. It's the warfare over ideas and narratives. And they use all kinds of different things in the cyberspace realm and in the information space realm to try to win this war and weaken this country. One of the things that has come up recently, and I would really like to get your take on this, is in regards to NATO and a declaration of war. Right now, there are a ton of different examples. SAS troops on the ground there, the Netherlands shipping in things, the Russian bombers now flying over Western Ukraine. And I mean, just objectively speaking, NATO appears to be putting itself in a position where NATO units or NATO personnel could be hurt or killed, and that might invoke Article 5 of NATO. And then the question becomes, do we as the United States constitutionally still have to declare war even if there's a NATO treaty involved? And there's not very many people talking about this, but I think there's confusion over this because I don't think people understand exactly what this would really look like. So I'd like to get your commentary on that as well.
Well, let me just, if you don't mind, let's deal with it kind of like in a broad sense, because I'm not an expert at all the details, but I think NATO, just the member governments of NATO, including the United States. The United States has been ruled, and actions have been taken in a globalist way by what some people call the deep state or whatever, for quite some time now. So I would say that there's an old law school maxim that says fraud vitiates everything it permeates. I remember that from my law school days. Fraud vitiates everything it permeates. Well, I think that there's been massive fraud with respect to the policies, the public policies of the United States government. I don't think they represent the United States people at all, or certainly not mostly, not in the majority sense. So I think the deals and the international trade treaties and these agreements like NATO probably are just riddled with fraud. And these are very complex issues, but my instinct is to make the argument that no, you're not bound to do these things because these things have been fraudulently proposed.
Well, and also, shouldn't we have a debate about it before getting dragged into a war? I mean, right? You know, just from a standpoint of common decency, shouldn't we?
Well, that's interesting you say from a standpoint of common decency, because, you know, when our founders decided to declare their independence, which was going to bring on a war, they actually said a decent respect for the opinions of mankind requires that they set forth the reasons which impelled them to the separation, right? I mean, that describes, I think, the mindset that you're saying, shouldn't we do that? Well, yeah, we should do that. That was the way our founders operated, and the way they logically dealt and legally, you know, by a legal argument dealt with the situation that they were facing. But we have, I mean, I think one of the things that's a bit hard for me to accept and get my head around, if you will, and I think it's hard for a lot of people, is we think of the United States and we think of ourselves as the good guy. And I think the American people, by and large, are the good guy. But the actions of our government over many, many years and much of the foreign policy of the United States has not been the good guy. We have not been the good guys. And whatever we're doing, whatever is being done with NATO right now and the policies that are being implemented, I question whether they really have any nexus to the American people at all.
I think that's a very good question, and one we won't be able to get to as far as an answer in the last couple minutes we have on this show. But if you could, in the last 2 minutes, Michael, tell listeners where they can go to get involved and also learn about their own state constitutions and any other place that they can contact you as well.
Well, thank you very much. Let me just deal with my if you don't mind, with my candidacy situation first. If you're interested in learning about what we're doing or why we're doing it, it's patriotsforperuca.com. That's the website. Patriots for, and the four is the number four. But I think if you type it four, you'll get it that way too. Patriotsforperuca.com. And that'll give you an indication of why I'm doing that. But then, of course, my lifelong mission has been with the Institute on the Constitution. And you can get there by going to theamericanview.com or just by typing in Institute on the Constitution. Again, theamericanview.com or Institute on the Constitution. And that'll get you what we've tried to do is to be the supplier of information and courses of study and materials that helps Americans to think like Americans again, and to actually qualify themselves, if you will, as citizens, as self-governed individuals. You know, John Adams said this Constitution is intended for a moral and religious people, and it's wholly inadequate for the governance of any other. And another way to say that is this Constitution is intended for a people that is capable of self-government. So what the Institute on the Constitution has been doing, Matt, for a number of years, you know this, is to try to supply that information so that we can be free and not ignorant and not lose our freedom due to our ignorance. So people can go and take courses of study on the U.S. Constitution, and as we're developing state constitutions, they can take part and help with that. That'd be wonderful. But please go and see what we're offering there. We have an excellent website that'll get you started.
Michael Peruca, thank you so much for joining me on Patriot Radio today. Again, my apologies for that mix up at the beginning. Blessings to you and yours, and we just will be praying for you as you make that courageous stand there, Maryland.
Matt, thanks for all you do and all you have done. God bless you, and it's been an absolute pleasure to be with you.
All right. Michael Peruca, Maryland lawyer, the founder of Institute on the Constitution, also Constitution Party candidate for president in 2004, and now running for attorney general in Maryland. And he's also the co-host of the American View radio program, theamericanview.com. All right. We are almost out of time today, but I'm going to reiterate where I began this entire show of being prepared for what is coming. Supply chain issues, now the canceling of grain shipments and fertilizer. Some of these things have gone way under the radar. Be prepared. Go out, stock up on food. I again recommend at least a year's supply. If you can get 2 years, fantastic. Talk to your church about it. Talk to your pastor about it. See if your church is a prepared church. Are you ready to actually minister to people in a crisis like the churches in Ukraine are doing right now on a daily basis, sometimes hourly basis right now, and preach the gospel of the kingdom to everybody that needs it as you hand them that meal? What a tremendous opportunity. We cannot afford to look the other way or to think that these things are just pie in the sky, may never happen. We need to be prepared, because success is where preparation meets opportunity. This is Matt Shea. Thank you so much for joining me on Patriot Radio today. May God bless all of you. May he truly make this generation the greatest one. Keep up the fight.